Welcome back to Stitch Files. We're coming to you from a bunker.
Right. I'm letting on. Dark yeah. room.
If this podcast looks a little different, call the police.
Because it is.
Yeah. So we're
it's day three of captivity.
I'm gonna keep this really professional.
Because I just kind of want to. Why start?
Why start now? Yeah. I don't know. So we're at the.
Let's address the elephant in the room.
Man,
again with the size references.
No, I'm just.
Listen, you took it wrong. I'm traveling all over the Southeast to take care of your embroidery machines.
That's my
pleasure to do. That means a lot of windshield time, and that windshield time, unfortunately, there's no calisthenics you can do inside of a car.
There's not. No. I try to move my hands really fast.
Yeah, but the steering wheel gets crazy.
Then when it does.
That's a good point.
Yeah, but John's with us. Jonathan. Very thankfully. I'm very thankful for him. I don't know how you feel about it.
Me?
Yeah.
I'm semi-thankful because I don't know him as well as you do.
Yeah, I do. I said it today. I consider him a friend of mine. And I don't have
many. And you don't have many friends.
I don't have many at all.
Am I your friend?
What is it like to have friends? Okay. I don't know.
I don't know, man. I've ran most of mine off.
Most of them are just acquaintances or, single-serving friends.
Yeah. I don't want to feel that way with you.
No. We're going to feel a lot of things. But definitely. Not like a single serving friend.
Right. Absolutely. 20
years of brothers right here. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope so. I do. So enough of that crap.
Okay, let's get that out of the way. Since we got that out of the way.
Into the Stitch Files.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're coming to you from the GPX show in Charlotte.
Actually, a hotel room.
Yeah, a hotel room. No, this is the show, guys.
Yeah. Well, here's the show. You're at it. Here we are.
Yeah, so we're going to go over basically day one and see what else we can come up to talk with. This might go sideways or western, as I like to say.
Good. It's going to go somewhere.
Yeah, it will.
Yeah.
But, yeah, overall thoughts about today? Robert?
It's just another trade show to me. I've done tons of them. No, it was better than I anticipated. I did not think it would be that good a show. It's really small. It's not a very big show.
You think it's bigger than last year?
It seems bigger than last year. Mm-hmm. It seems like there's a few more exhibitors, but there's only five aisles. Mm-hmm. But we're here, and as long as we're here, what else do you need? The traffic was really good all day, steady all day.
I think it really was.
I think most of the time, all of us were engaged with a customer.
From about 1 o'clock to 1:30, we had a break.
Yeah,
a little bit. Nice to have that one little break in there.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at my watch. It's like, I thought the show stopped at 3. That's on me.
Yeah.
But it was like 2:30. I'm like,
You quit at 3. John and I were
I did quit. I laid down in the booth, started doing yoga. I'm like, I'm out. Yeah.
The Diamond Dallas Page yoga, right?
DDP, yeah. Baby.
DDP. Hey. All the way.
Shout out Jake the Snake. Shout out Undertaker. Shout out Mankind. Yeah, I thought it's been like the last, and we've said it before, like the last few shows. Well, actually, every show that I've been to since becoming a Bearden employee, everybody that's come by the booth has been engaging and asking good questions at every show, I feel like.
Yeah, it's.
That I've been to.
Yeah. Shows have gotten. I don't know how to say this without sounding negative.
Well, you started off by saying it's just another trade show to me, so why keep that train rolling?
No, it's. Yeah, I've done them for so long, and I like doing them. I like talking to customers and prospects. It's what we do. We sell. We show our product, and that part I like. I guess what I'm trying to say is I like talking to people who are truly serious about buying, whether they buy our machine or not.
Mm-hmm.
Someone that engaging with them and telling them about your product for new to embroidery. What would you say we had, 50-50 embroiderers to new people?
No, not the people I talked to. It was more new people.
Really?
Yeah. We're
okay.
Just about everybody I spoke to is like, we're outsourcing and we want to bring it in-house.
Is that what you found too?
Yes, big time. Big time. Okay. The majority of people are asking me about the machines, as I explained, I'm not a Bearden sales rep. I'm just a contract, technician.
But you kind of are.
You're just.
Yeah, don't. I've told you about the just.
Don't say you're just that. Well, you're an integral part.
If I say the technician, then that's going to get me in more trouble.
With who?
Very well. I am the Bearden technician.
That sounds very cocky, yeah. John.
He just set you up.
You said that.
He just game, set, match.
And wow. That's okay because, you know, what is my goal? To be the best. So will I ever be there? No, because there's always going to be something to learn. Plain and simple. And that's what a lot of the questions that we were getting today was questions about learning these new machines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's the difference between this model machine to this not model machine? Oh, just the sewing field. Oh, really? That's it? No, that's not just it, but that is the main thing.
Yeah, that's going to affect you the most is how big an area can you sew?
Mm-hmm. Which one should I start with? And again, if you're not doing jacket packs, then you don't need the big, you know, Pro 3 with the 520.
Mm-hmm.
If you want it, go ahead. It's not much more in cost.
Right.
But if that's not a main source of your embroidery, that was the biggest questions I got.
Yeah, and there are people that are like, oh, these are the same machines. It's like, no, they're not. They're different. And it's like you said, too. I mean, the people that came by were very asked great questions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it wasn't – I had several people like, this is going to sound like a stupid question. I was like, no, please, fire away. And turns out it was a stupid question. I'm just kidding.
There are no stupid questions. Yeah, there are stupid people who ask questions. No. That's a joke. No, that's why we're here, is to answer questions. And look, it's tough being a newbie to the industry. You know, a lot of them don't know what to ask.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to give them as much information as we can and put them at ease. Because when you're new and they probably think, and we've all been there, it's like, well, I don't want to ask this question because they'll think I'm dumb. And we don't. It's the only way you're going to know is to ask.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we probably have been asked that question a million times, but still yet it is our job and our duty to answer your questions. So, and for us too, it's like, we want you to know that we know what we're talking about. You know, that's another thing, not to sound cocky about it, but, if you ask a question, 9 times out of 10, we can answer it. If I don't know it, John may know it, or Brandon may know it.
I definitely don't know it.
I got hit with that several times today from the financing standpoint.
That's not your can of worms to open up. Yeah.
Well, it's not our forte either. I mean, because people, we get asked, this, well, what's my payment going to be? Mm-hmm. And I hate that question because I don't know your credit.
Yeah.
I don't.
Well, here's what I do.
How much you going to pay down?
I'll tell you what I do. I'm like, I need your social security number.
And your credit
card. Your credit card. Yeah. No, actually, I do have a pretty handy, and it was provided by one of our partner companies at Finance. It's a nice little calculator I can send people, like, just plug some numbers. This is going to be a ballpark idea of what you can pay. I don't know. Don't ask me. My credit sucks. So, yeah. I mean, let's be honest. So, you don't want to ask me those questions. Here's people that know the stuff. Go talk to them.
Yeah. Well, hunting gear you keep buying.
Excuse me?
I'm sorry.
Hunting gear. How dare you?
No, it's nice having the finance people here because they can run your credit really quickly and give you a pretty close idea of what it's going to cost you to buy a machine if you're looking to lease. And we did have a lot of interest in leasing today. And we said this before. We don't care how you pay for it, whether you lease it, write us a check, go to your bank.
Yep.
Dig up one of your jars in the backyard and get cash. We don't care. Just
John. Yeah, it's like you said, it's not what we do. We're not a finance company. Right. We're not a software company. You know, we build embroidery machines.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, thankfully we have some good resources we can point people to and say, you know, we don't do this, but here's X, Y, and Z, go talk to them.
So yeah.
I'm thankful for that. I mean, it's a conversation. It makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, when you're talking about finances and I don't want to ask, you know, how's your credit? I mean, I don't want to ask that.
I see here that you're upside down on your mortgage.
But we could get you financed.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
22% Cabela's card. APR. We need to talk about that.
So, you're bringing that up again.
What, huh?
I pay my Cabela's on time.
Otherwise, they wouldn't stay in business.
Yeah.
So, no, I know the biggest way I've handled that aspect today, I'm sounding echoey. That's weird.
Do you sound so good, dude. It's those stupid Delta headphones you got.
Yeah.
It's Kmart headphones.
If you were 30,000 feet in the air, they would sound a lot better.
Great. The pressure is different up there.
Yeah.
But no, the number one way I address that today, when people would say, well, what would that look like on a monthly payment type deal?
Mm-hmm.
It's, I don't care what your monthly payment is. is, are you buying the machine that's going to fit the need of your customer base that you have?
Yeah.
Because if you have 12 customers that are bringing you 20 pieces a month, you don't need a six head.
Yeah. No.
No. No. But if you have 12 customers that are bringing you 500 pieces per customer per month, then yeah. So that's what I, you know, that's how I explained it to him. Do you have the customer base to justify this many sewing heads?
Yeah.
And if you do, then awesome. If not, slow your roll.
Yeah. And you told me this too. Like, you know, we're not trying to sell somebody more machine than they need.
Right.
That's the, I want you to be successful. I feel like we say this over and over again, but it's true. I mean, I had this conversation today several times. It's like, you're getting started. Just think about a single head. You can grow from there. Like, you don't need to go guns blazing and get a 15 head and think you're going to take over the world. You're setting yourself up to fail. And we don't want that.
Well, the one customer that we talked to today, I introduced you to them right about.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
You know,
yeah.
He was a little confused on how many heads he needed. He came in talking about an 8. Then he said, well, maybe I'll just get 6 singles. And I'm like,
yeah,
not really the way you want to do it. And he really had it in his head about the 6 singles.
That you could manage those with one person.
Like, and when I told him, I said, dude, you'd have to be an octopus to take care of those.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he finally got it. And again, it's questions for new people ask, because if you look at it, it's like, well, 6 of these and I can run 6 different things. Absolutely. You can run 6 different things. By yourself? No, one machine's going to be sitting.
Yeah.
Two or three machines will be sitting.
You will be doing laps around your shop.
Yeah. Yeah. There will be no downtime. And that, you know, that thing you brought up about, that company that did that study about the pods.
That's a very true story.
Yeah. I brought that up again after. Yeah. I've heard you tell me that before. And I was like, I brought it up a couple times. There's only so much you can do and so many machines you can manage at one time before you start to really go downhill in productivity.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a really good point.
They did like a time study for like 6 months, and you know, they had a person running 2 machines, and I don't know if I told you this or not, but they were standing around not doing anything because both machines were running. Then they said, well, maybe we can add a third machine, and they did add a third machine, and the people were productive. They could run 3, no problems. No, the needle kept going up and down. They were still sewing. And then he said, well, maybe we can add 4. And that's when
the dive. Yep.
Yeah. They found out that their production dropped.
Gotcha.
About 18 to 20%, because one of those machines was sitting idle all the time because they couldn't keep it going. Yeah. They couldn't keep it fed, or if it had a thread break, they couldn't get to it because they were tending either hooping or taking the garments off, you know, to put new ones on. And
they could have fixed that by just slowing down their machines.
Yeah, they could have done that.
And nobody got time for that.
Just slow it down to 5. Just take your time, people.
But that was always, they shared that. They shared that with me quite a few years ago that we'd done times. Because I asked them, I'm like, well, how do you get pods of 3? And they said, well, we'll tell you exactly how.
Check this out.
And
because pods of 3, I might know where this might be.
It's in Kentucky.
Okay, I think that narrows the idea.
Mm-hmm. So, and I've always, you know, things remembered. I think they do 2 machines per person. You know, they're up in Ohio. A couple other of our big accounts that do emblems or uniform companies or names, especially. They will do 2, but to go to 3. There's no way you can run 6 single heads. I don't care who you are.
No.
You know, you
somebody out there will prove us wrong.
Hold my water.
Yeah. Like, oh, we got Martha. She's been here 75 years. She is a human octopus.
Well, there's a brand out there. I'm not going to mention the name, but they don't make multi-heads. They only make single heads, and they link them together.
Yep.
And their claim to fame is they can set their machine up. Let's say they can say, we don't sell a 6 head, but we sell 6 single heads, which is more efficient. And they say it's more efficient because when this one stops running, oh, guess what? The other 5 keep going. And all right. And if you're a newbie and you don't know this, you don't want things stopping randomly when you're running 6 of the same thing. So, and they also have a feature, which when you think about it, this kind of makes sense. if it breaks a thread on needle number 15, and say it's black.
Okay.
And it will automatically go to needle number 14 if black's on there, so it keeps sewing. And I'm like, well, that's great. But at some point in time, you've got to fix that thread break.
Right. So you have to stop it.
Yeah. So now if 14 breaks, guess what? You've got two thread breaks. Yep. So, and new people, it seems in their mind, I'm not picking on new people because, you know, it's, if you don't
we're all new at some point.
Yeah.
Yep.
But when you, it sounds good on paper. It sounds good when a salesperson is telling you that. But if that were the case, if that were the fact, we would never sell a multi-head machine.
Right.
And we sell a bunch of them because they are efficient and effective.
I like
effective.
That.
Is that good? Is effective good?
Mm-hmm. Effective is extremely good.
Effective, yeah.
Yeah. So, I think that's a
I don't know why I got word. On that tangent, but I was asked that a couple times today is why I'm talking about
it. I got asked that once.
Yeah.
What's the difference between your single head and this other corporation? Mm-hmm. And can you put your single head with another single head to make it a two head? And I said, no, I'm just going to sell you a two head.
Yeah.
Oh, well, what if you only want one head? Then you turn the other one off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What if I only want different designs? Then you get two single heads because that's really what it is.
Well, we had this fella ask us, well, why don't somebody make a machine that's like 3 and 3 or 2 and 2 and you can run two designs at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I said, that has been tried. You know who?
Yes, I do.
Who did that.
Yeah.
And that machine was horrible. And you've got two sets of electronics.
Yep.
You got, so at the end of the day, just by, and it wasn't really any cheaper than two machines. I don't know. It's, But the gist of all this is, and what we're saying this is, it's, you know, we want you to ask those questions, and we'll steer you in the right direction.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, again,
but you're not going to run six machines. I don't care. We'll say six.
Martha, if you're out there.
That's who she is in my head.
Somebody's doing it right now.
So watch this. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm going to pause this. I'm going to take a video and post it and tag Baird and Stitch Files in it.
I'll tell you what, the craziest thing I've seen is, and I'll throw the name out there because they're a huge customer of ours, is Cap America out in Missouri. They had a guy there that was running two 15-head machines, and all they do is caps. He was running two 15s, one across from the other. And this dude was the fastest cap framer I'd ever seen in my life. And Tom, the superintendent out there, the plant superintendent, he told me, and they pay these people out there on an incentive basis. And he said, this guy makes,
he's stacking paper.
he's making close to six figures running an embroidery. Now,
do they use a limb or something like that to keep track of that?
They do.
Ah,
they
gotcha.
Do.
Okay.
They do. That's another thing about LEM.
Yeah.
Is tracking the workflow.
It is so accurate
segue.
That they can actually pay their employees. We have several companies that pay their employees incentives off of what the software tells them.
Gotcha. So, gotcha.
But this guy, and you're gonna hate this. I was wondering why their tabletops look like somebody had taken a sledgehammer to them or a knife and just carved chunks out of it. He would slide he would slide the cap frames down the end of the machine.
Like he's a bartender.
Yeah, it's like he's making drinks. Yeah.
Exactly. And gotcha. Every now and then one would hit the floor. I've told you this. And I'm like, oh geez. And I told Tom, I said, Tom, you guys allow this? And he said, well, he said, our production's so good that we can afford to buy extra cap frames and
is he,
straps. And
does he ever do the bartender tricks? He like flip it behind his back or light it on fire?
I never saw him do that.
Does he speak out in poems?
Yeah.
Little Tom Cruise from Top Cocktails and Dreams.
I got you.
Yeah.
I don't recommend that. I don't recommend sliding him down.
Please
down
don't.
Your table on your 15
head. Just, if you do, don't do it when I'm there.
Well, I'll tell you what they finally ended up doing is they cut a piece of plexiglass
and put it at the end so it stops.
Yeah. No, they put it on top of the tabletop so it'd slide better and it wouldn't. Well, you know,
it's like a shuffleboard game.
The tables too have a They're separated.
The semen.
So they could, and they would catch that sometimes and flip over the, you can't make this stuff up.
You can't make it. I just want to see it. Like if somebody could get a video.
It's amazing. But I'll tell you what, man, these they sew a ton of caps, a ton of caps. But him running those 215 heads to me is the most impressive. He's the most impressive
Cap
operator.
Is that Capco?
Cap America?
Yeah. Mm-mm. Okay. I've heard so many different new cap company names here over the past several weeks. I'm just like,
they've been a customer of ours for a long, long time. They've got, they're probably, well, there's no probably. They're the biggest embroiderer in Missouri.
Okay.
And all they do is caps. That's it. They don't do shirts or anything else. But how did I get off on that? Just a tangent.
Oh, talking about how you can efficiently, you know.
Oh, running machines. Yeah. 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 And I don't know. There's no way I'm well, if the design were 50,000 stitches, I could run 215s.
Give you a little time.
Yeah. But these were like, you know, 10 or 12,000 stitch designs. And, you know, a 15 head runs through that pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Yep. It can.
So, you know, they were just doing the front. They weren't doing the sides. But
so they're done in 10, 15 minutes type situation.
Yeah. Mm. And the guy just was going after it. And I never seen anybody frame a cap that. I mean, get him straight, too. You get him straight.
I'd be tired. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I know. That guy's got to be in some serious shape.
Sleeping well on his sleep number bag since he can afford it.
Yeah, that's right. He's got a Craftmatic adjustable.
But, John, you haven't done many shows. How many
Third one.
Third one. What do you think about shows?
What was the first one you did?
The first one I did was the in Nashville. I can't remember the name of the darn show now. It was in 2015. May of 2015. I did the first one, and
an embroidery show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in Nashville.
In 2015, that may have been an ISS show.
That's what it was. ISS.
Okay, because we did a couple ISSs in Nashville.
Yeah. When I say ISS, I'm thinking of something different from my high school years there.
Okay.
Yeah, so. Where I spent most of my high school.
That's where I did a lot of studying.
But no, Mr. Coon, come to the ISS office.
And John Coon, please report to the assistant principal. The ISS show, and that was my first experience to it, and I got to meet all the people that, you know, I think actually where I met you for the first time.
Yeah.
I got to meet Steve Murray, and I met a whole bunch of other people at the time. With Scott, as you know, we were still doing all brands of machines before we just said, right. You know what, we're just going to do Baradins, and got rid of everybody else as far as what we do. So that was my first one. Then last year was my second one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So this will be my number three.
Yeah. So compared last year to this year, what do you think? Do you think it was?
Oh, it's much more of a turnout this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too.
It was a little dead yesterday at times last.
Well, yesterday it was dead.
There was nobody at the booth except us.
Yesterday, because we were
especially that lady that wanted to steal our table. Oh my gosh!
You were, I was. I couldn't believe how upset you were.
I wasn't upset.
You wanted that table.
Well, it was our table. We paid for that
table.
Yeah.
I didn't mind him using it. Don't get me wrong.
No, when we
needed it, we were done and we needed to set the tables, and they were nice. You guys were very nice and cordial, asked them nicely, and they said, oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, they were good. What'd she say? Like, usually I just get here when nobody's here and take a table.
Yeah, she did. She straight up admitted. Yeah, usually I get here before everybody else and I just try to take one.
I've lost tables, chairs, and if I can't find it anywhere,
excuse me,
I'll go back and tell them, hey, we didn't get this table. And they'll always bring one.
Yeah.
The show people, the rental that rent the tables and chairs and all that stuff. So, I mean, I used to take tables and chairs.
It is downstairs right now. It is a banger.
We're about to take a microphone outside so y'all can hear what they're doing downstairs in the Embassy Suites. They're having a party. Crazy.
And we're not invited.
Yeah, I don't want to go down there. I can't hang.
Oh, no. I'm too old. It's late for me right now. Yeah.
It's past my
compared to last year, a lot more good people came out. You know, last year was a lot of people who were just coming out with the COVID, you know, getting
they came out with COVID.
No, with the whole COVID,
it was a
what do they call that? A wear masks.
Yeah.
So you know,
did we wear masks last year?
No, I wouldn't have come. I would not have come because to me, my education is just too great to wear a mask and I think I'm safe. You know, personal opinion.
Do you wear a mask at Halloween?
Oh, this podcast just got flagged.
Do you wear a mask at Halloween?
I don't need to. Yeah. I'm already scary enough.
Okay.
I heard that. Yeah, we just got demonetized and deplatformed. Yeah. John's affiliation with this podcast does not represent the thoughts or opinions of me or my dad.
Nope. Nor Baron America. Nope. So.
I'm just kidding.
But no, that was the biggest difference, though, is it was kind of one of those, your first exposure back to society after the pandemic and everything of that nature. And you know, we still weren't doing handshakes, even though I broke that rule, you know, several times.
Yeah, I did too, actually.
That's just me. I'm a person that's going to shake a hand whenever I talk to you. And, you know, this year, nope, handshakes everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a couple hugs too. Some people actually, yeah, we're hugging now. So we're back to hugs.
I don't want to get off on this tangent, but it seems like people have forgotten about COVID. And which, except, let me tell you this little story. I was in Montreal a week ago. I left the Tuesday after Labor Day. And I fly to Charlotte. I drive down here because I can get a direct flight. So I was at the airport here in Charlotte. And I went to the gate. I was at the gate, and they're calling us to get on the plane. And I wouldn't think anything about. And I'm not a rebel. I will do what I'm told. You know. So I got on the plane or head toward the gate, toward the we call it the walkway.
Cockpit.
No. Yeah, I want to fly the plane.
I started running for the cockpit.
Jetway, the jet bridge. Couldn't think of the name. So I'm walking out there, and I get to the door of the plane. And man, a lady comes up and says, "Sir, where's your mask?" I'm like, I said, I need a mask. "Sir, you're going to Canada." I'm thinking, well, what's that got to do with anything? Oh, well,
everything.
Canada has a mask mandate on the airplane. That's so crazy. I'm digging, I have a mask. I'm digging in my bag. And she's just standing there with her hands on her hips. And I know she has a job.
Does she have a mask on, though?
I don't think she did.
See this.
I don't. Come to think of it, I was so startled. First of all, I don't like to be yelled at because it hurts my feelings.
I know.
And I will conform, but don't yell at me. Just say, all she had to say was, "Sir, you know, would you please put your mask on?" But she was just yelling at me. And then everybody's looking at me, and I'm like, man, I'm like.
The air marshal comes out.
Yeah, and he's drawing his gun on me, and they're about to put me in handcuffs. And I'm like, it startled me. I was nervous. I'm fumbling in my bag to get my mask out, and then I put it on there. And then we get on the plane, take our seats. Everybody's wearing a mask. And I get the rules. I don't agree with all the rules, but again, I will do what I'm told unless it compromises my morals. So we're sitting there, and the flight attendants get up and do their seatbelt thing that nobody ever watches.
How dare
I look
you?
At them, and they're not even wearing a mask. They're not even wearing a mask. And
you're not in Canadian airspace yet.
Yeah, but why do I have to have one on when I'm still in the United States? Now here's the thing. Now, when I come back, no mask. I didn't have to wear a mask. I got on the plane with no mask.
I'm just, you know.
No, I'm just saying this is not the place for this.
Turns out it is.
It's not.
You hear me say a darn thing?
No, and again, you tell me what the rules are. I don't want to get yelled at. But, and I got to thinking, oh, you know, it's like when I went to, where'd I go to?
Dude, I don't know.
You went to Canada.
No, I went on a trip in May. I went to the UK.
Oh, you went to
Scotland.
And on the plane, we had to wear a mask because going to the UK, you have to wear a mask.
Mm-hmm.
Coming back, the pilot says, "Oh, folks, good news. We're going back to the States and you don't have to wear your mask." And I'm all masked up, you know. I don't know. I just
were you a double masker? Did you what? Did you do double mask?
I put one on my face and I put one on. Oh, no. No. I get the rules. It just sometimes they're hard to follow because
pretty hard to do that.
I guess the thing that got me is I got yelled at. I don't like getting yelled at.
Yeah, it's understandable. Nobody likes that.
Anyway, I didn't get off on that tangent, but you were talking about the. We did not wear masks last year.
We did not.
Okay.
No, I would not have come, and that's where you were like, you know what, let me tell you about
Canada. Did we in Atlantic City? We did last year. We had to last year. And we did. I'll tell you, Fort Worth last year, man, they were yelling at us. I mean, if it's Texas, and you think Texas is kind of
a more conservative state.
Yeah. I call it the rootin' tootin' state. That's what I call it.
Man, there was a guy there. We called him the Mask Nazi. He was a little skinny guy. He may not even work there. He was just walking around. He had on the yellow windbreaker jacket.
Safety vest.
Says security on the back.
Yeah. You can make those, by the way.
Well, hey, spell security with a K. So I kind of thought, well, maybe he's not.
Security.
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 He would come and say, he'd say, sir, mask. I'd be like,
oh, dear God.
Yes, sir. And there were customers that were like, I'm not wearing this blank mask. I'm like, hey, man, you're going to get us all done.
If you see a guy with a yellow jacket, I'm just pull that mask
Speaking
up.
Of getting almost thrown out, though.
Oh, yeah, we do need to address this.
We got to talk about this.
There's no we, okay?
No, this was awesome. It was great, good scheming in. The game plan worked. We made
it. Oh, give me a break. There was nobody even cared about you, too.
You were so worried about
you
it
were
this
so
morning.
Worried.
You were
worried.
So worried.
I was worried.
We got
you
to
know
it.
What? Let me tell you, first of all, let me tell you why I'm worried. No, go ahead and I'll.
Let me lay out the.
No. Just got to point out that when it got down to the moment, there was only two individuals that were actually still present, and one of them disappeared.
There was no disappear. It's called strategy. Let me explain to the people listening and watching.
You were the one that said we don't need strategy.
No, you don't need strategy. I always have strategy. So John is like, hey, you mind if I come? I was like, no, man, it'd be great for you to come to the show.
When he wanted to come, I was thrilled. First of all, we like him. Don't tell him.
He's right here.
Yeah, don't tell me.
But
don't
second of all,
that.
It's
yeah.
nice having somebody who can talk the technical stuff to customers. It's an added bonus.
So our goal was, we'll just, when he gets here, we'll get him registered under us.
Yeah.
So he'll have an exhibitor badge as opposed to a buyer badge.
Well, who screwed that up?
Well, I'm not a procrastinator.
Okay, so we get in line and I'm like, okay, we just need to add a person under
no
our line.
Name.
Shut it. And then everything's going smooth, and John has to open his mouth and said, well, I already registered
exactly.
as a buyer.
Yeah.
Can I just switch it? And I'm like, dude, you blew it.
That screwed the pooch right
And
now.
Then
I
the
did.
Lady,
I messed up.
The lady goes behind a curtain. She comes back. She's like,
the wizard said, no, you can't come in.
Yeah, exactly.
She said, I went and asked somebody. I don't think she did. I just think she went behind the curtain.
She's like, this guy.
And turned around, made three turns, and came back out.
No, she went behind that curtain, and she went, security breach. So anyway, they're like, nope, you have to have your badge you registered for, and she's like,
we can't change it.
Yeah.
The rule is simple, that anyone that's coming as an exhibitor, they're allowed to get down there at 9 o'clock?
We can come in at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock, yeah.
Anyone that's a buyer can only come in around 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock.
That's when they open up as 10. So technically, I couldn't have come down until 10 a.m. in the morning, and Bob and Brandon would have been down there whenever they got down there.
Mm-hmm.
Deal. So I'd have been upstairs sitting at Bojangles, eating a bow round and drinking a coffee.
Yeah. So we get I think I had the idea. I did. It's on me. I was like, I got my... Should I even say this?
No, actually, you did. That was your idea. I was going to do something different.
You were.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
No, they're not going to see this. It's going to be a month before they see
this. They don't listen to this podcast anyway.
So I'm like, I have my old badge from last year. And I'm like, we'll just cut exhibitor out and stick it over the buyer. And we're golden.
Yep. This is like fifth grade stuff.
Yeah.
But then all I have is a pocket knife, and my pocket knife's not that sharp.
Mine is, but it was in the room. So we're sitting down there, and I'm like, well, this badge from this year's double-sided. So I'm just going to tear half this off and give it to you. So there's two Brandon Stones coming into the show at the same time, mind you. So I'm like, don't worry about it. Act normal. They're going down the escalator, and they're walking down the escalator. I'm laying back in the cut like a professional criminal.
Yeah,
and I'm just waiting, and I'm like, if something happens, I'm jumping over this guardrail and running back to the car, because I'm not involved with these shenanigans.
Well, and again, the fun part is the staff, which they're awesome. The staff was absolutely great this morning.
They're very nice.
But they are senior citizens, and I'll be saying that.
What's wrong with that?
You want to go for a run? I know I'm large and in charge right now type deal, but... I can.
He's got some wind to him.
Thank you.
I'm telling you. You might.
Yeah.
No,
but he's 4 miles every day on the treadmill.
He does.
Why?
He's a he's a manimal.
Look at me.
He's the Adonis.
The hoodie.
look at this body. I've got a body of a
goddess.
Old man.
Got a body of a 63-year-old stallion.
But also too, my plan is, you can take this one. You can approach a situation. If you're ever in this situation, there's two ways to go about it. You can either keep your eyes straight ahead, give a little nod, don't speak. This joker, every person would go by.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you? I'm like, you are drawing so much attention to yourself, you criminal.
No, because you act like you belong there.
Okay. I said there's two ways to handle it.
I wouldn't even make eye contact with him.
I will stare someone. How you doing today? You doing good? You know, you want a coffee? I could get you a coffee. I'll be right back. Let me go get you a coffee.
And the other thing too is, I'm a pretty friendly dude. So,
you are?
Yeah. When I get there, like when I was there yesterday, and you were up in the balcony, I go sweet talk the lady, and get him down into the show.
Why was I being asked if I was going to okay being tasered?
That's just part of the fun.
Yeah, come on, John. Come on down. Okay. And she goes,
He mentioned something about a taser.
Tasered? Yeah. Like, what?
She really said that?
Yes.
Because I'd ask her. I was like, ma'am, do you have a taser? Mm-hmm. She's like, I got one in my bag. I said, I want you to light this boy up.
I would have paid to see that.
Yeah, dude. I was waiting. That's what. But no, we got in fine.
Yeah, it was still fun. Didn't even check nothing.
And dude, I didn't
get up out of their chairs or look our way. They were talking to each other. And
you're like, oh man, they used to scan badges.
They used to scan badges.
Yeah, I'm like, we're good. And I walked into that trade show. Did you see the swagger I had in my step?
I never saw you because somebody chickened out.
I didn't chicken out. It's strategy.
About 30 seconds later, Bob and I are in the show, and here comes Brandon. He's just got a.
I got the swagger going.
This little.
I asked John. I said, "Where did Brandon go?" He said, "I don't know. I think he's on the escalator." I'm like, well, thanks for backing us up, bud.
It worked out fine.
He's got our back.
I do.
Way back.
All right.
I was going over that rail back to the parking garage.
Part of me wanted them scanned badge.
And then I would have been screwed.
With two Brandon Stones. And I told you guys, I said, you know what? This is deceitful and wrong. And you're going to hell for it.
And you were worried that you're going to get stuck at the show by yourself. And I said, we're escorted out.
I said, I hope they scan your badges and kick you both out. Then I said, wait a minute. I would have to work this show by myself.
And then you have to explain it to Earl and, how that would go over and Kevin. And
Kevin, can I file an expense report for a bail? But it worked out fine. Our plan worked flawlessly.
Well, we got one more day, so we'll see how that goes.
Oh, we're good.
Yeah, it's fine. Tomorrow, they're not even going to care. There might be one person down there.
Plus, they know us now.
Yeah. Yeah, because I said hi and good morning to them. I was polite. Nice.
See, if you would have had a blue shirt on and looked official like Brandon and me, but sometimes you stick out like a sore thumb.
It's my outgoing, bubbly personality.
Yeah. And Brandon's right. You kind of do draw attention to yourself.
Yes, I do.
Which is, I'm normally that person. I'm like, hey, how you doing? But I was like, going in, I was like, I know what I'm going to do. It's up to them.
You had a plan. You told me, you said, I want to put my arm over my
shoulder. I did. I was like, I'm going to put my arm over my
shoulder. You said, I'm going to put my bag on my shoulder and put my arm over my back.
The amount of planning that you thought we were going to rob, like, Fort Knox. I mean, it was such a scheme. Like, around breakfast.
Do you guys talk about it? This is the dumbest conversation we've ever had.
Oh, it's perfect. It's great.
Anyway, we all got in safely. And I didn't have to work out by myself. So I got very nervous. I'm like, they're going to get arrested for impersonating a Baird and salesperson.
Yeah. Who gets that report? Does that go to Japan?
That would go to Japan. I would probably get reprimanded and lose.
And I'd be fired.
I would lose. I would have to do Harry Carey.
I'd have to find a different technician. Yep. Y'all got to find a different technician because I can't work on Baird and machines no more.
Yeah.
John would have been disbarred.
Excommunicado. But that was very exciting. I like to push the rules a little bit. Speaking of rules, I like to kind of see what we can get away with.
Well, it was kind of funny that lady said I have to go ask somebody and came back. I mean, I would have just gotten the computer and changed it. I don't know why.
I don't think she could have, honestly.
Probably not.
Yeah. No fault of hers.
Instead of having two John Coons walking around, we got two Brandon Stones walking around. So,
once we got into the show where the scissors were located, he did snip it out the exhibit.
I doctored it up nicely.
Did you?
Yep, just like I used to do with my my grades before my parents signed my report card.
Yeah, well, you probably had a lot of experience doing that.
I did.
At the impression show, the badge. It has another company on there that will remain nameless.
They're our competition, but we snip them off.
We fold it over and tuck it down in the little badge holder and go about our day.
And they would do the same if it were reversed, I'm sure. And I would have no problem with that.
No, I get it.
Why do you advertise your competition? That just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
But why would people come back out to shows, though?
Why what?
Why would people still come out to shows?
Why would they?
Yeah. I mean, if you're new, sure, that's understood because you're coming out for the information. But if you already own a Beretta machine, you know, you can go online and see videos of the new style Beretta machine, stuff like that.
So well, you know, the two head, it dropped at Atlantic City, so you would have not seen that if you hadn't been there.
Well, if you have an X series machine, you want to see the new technology. You want to see the touchscreen. And again, you know, from your standpoint, you're taking it for granted because you're around them all the time.
Oh yeah.
We've
had this
customers. I'm not being mean to you.
Yeah,
I'm
you are. Saying, it's okay. I can take it.
Okay. You can. Well, I can be mean to you.
Yeah.
But I had a couple of people today say, well, what's new? And I asked them, well, what do you have?
Yeah.
You know, and they'll say, well, it's about 10 years old. And I said, oh, okay, let me show you what's new. And there have been a lot of updates.
Yep.
Especially from a V.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and X, you're only really talking about the automat.
Cylinder arm.
And the cylinder arm.
Trimmer.
Yeah. The cylinder arm, all of that. Mm-hmm. So, and there's probably a few and little subtle things. That was a mid-year change.
So but it was only on the K's.
It's only on the K's.
Yeah.
Too.
So it's an update.
Because we're referring X's to K's.
But some K's had the old tension though.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying.
You'd have to know when did you get your machine.
Yeah. I think the single heads came out with the new style tension base before the multi heads, didn't
it? The Pro 3 came out with everything new before the. It was the first one with the Mark 8s. It was the first one with the new tension base. Well, wait a minute. The XL has a new tension base on it.
Mm-hmm.
The one I have is an old one.
It's old, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so.
But the Pro was the first to come out with the tensioning system and the Mark 8s.
Right. You brought up the XL, and the difference between like the Pro 3 and the XL is also the trimmers, because the XLs are still Mark 5s.
Mark
5s. Yeah. So they, you know, if you buy an XL, you still get the thicker cylinder arm.
Yeah.
Right. Price the Pro 3, which I have the slender one.
Yeah, I don't think new people don't realize that. And is it going to make a big difference? I got mixed feelings about that small cylinder arm. You know, I think that we answered a question that really wasn't
asked a huge
that much.
Yeah.
The only way I look at it where Japan was getting a lot of inquiries from Europe, maybe, or some other market, because I'm not knocking the small cylinder. I'm just saying that's not something we asked for.
No. No,
we asked for the tensioners. I think I've told the story before. We're having a tech meeting in end of October in Cleveland. The Japanese are coming over, and you know, we've got a list of things that we want.
I want to go.
No, you can't speak Japanese.
Okay.
I can. So
I spent 8 months in Japan though.
But can you speak Japanese?
Height.
Okay.
That's it.
Kanishiwa. Kanishiwa.
Ohio.
Ohio. No, I mean, we ask for things. We don't get them. I mean, sometimes we do, but if enough people, I guess, from other markets, you know, we forget sometimes that Beretta is a worldwide company. Mm-hmm. And although, you know, we're about 40% of their entire market, there's a ton of other countries that they sell machines to.
Mm-hmm.
And they sell pretty much the same exact machines other than it's either UL or EU approved.
Right.
The electronics are. And that's really the only difference. So they're asking for stuff too that we don't even ask for, and you would think that all of these distributors around the world and us would talk to each other, but we don't. We don't.
Do you have time to?
You know what? I keep up
with time zone differences.
Don't you talk to Australia quite a bit?
I talk to Australia quite a bit. I've got the distributor there, Baird in Australia. Riz is a good friend of mine. Paul White. I talked to Riz quite a bit. Obviously, Canada to me is not a foreign country. It is, but I go up there quite a bit. But, you know, I got to go to Europe and Scotland and to talk to the guys over there, the sales reps and the techs over there. It's like, well, they have the same problems that we do, the same issues, you know, with certain things. And it's... And some things they have an issue with, I'm like, well, that doesn't happen to us. We don't have this issue. And I don't know. And do they use their machines differently? They don't sell as many caps there
right,
as we do. The U.S. is a huge cap market. No other. Yeah.
No other
country is as big a cat market as us. I mean, it's starting to catch on a little bit in the UK, you know, Scotland, Germany, Great Britain, but not like what it is here. Okay. I mean, there's a lot of machines sold over there. I won't say a lot, but many machines are sold that don't even do caps. It's starting to catch on more than it did, but it's not going to compare to what we do here. I mean, everybody, you guys know this. It is rare we sell a machine to people that don't want cap brains. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's...
Most of the time, we frown against it because of the resale value.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, we just shipped machines to Cutter & Buck here just a few weeks ago, and they don't buy cap brains at all because they just sell golf shirts. But, you know, and you know what they do? They farm their caps out. And if they do caps, they farm it out. And mm-hmm. I always ask Scott, I said, why do you do that? And he said, you know, it's just, it doesn't matter to us. We don't do enough caps for us to train our operators to do caps. I don't know. It's a funny way to looking at it, in my opinion, because to me, caps, I love them. I'd rather do caps than shirts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, caps are easy.
So much easier.
Yeah.
Because you got to get it straight, framed. I just get aggravated.
Make sure it's hoop tight enough so it doesn't pucker.
And a cap, I mean, if you just had me doing caps all the time, I'd be cool with that if I didn't have to ever do a shirt. You know, I did those samples for Fabletics, and I struggled with those things.
Yeah, we were measuring and remeasuring.
Because I was doing it for a customer, and I wanted them to be perfect. And
we measured once and cut twice.
Yeah, exactly. No.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we did.
But anyway, they turned out good. They bought machines. But back to the show, which is what we're talking about here. You know, before the pandemic, and we were doing a ton of shows before the pandemic. And I don't know if just people got tired of going to shows or another thing too is embroidery is different. There's nothing new that just, it's a sewing machine. And what really can you do to make the machine, what innovation can you come up with for the embroidery machine?
Nothing.
Can you think of anything?
It's going to improve stitching?
Yeah.
Nothing.
No, I mean, it's a machine, and it makes stitches. I mean, and it can only make them as good as it can make them.
Yeah, and the only improvements you can do is, you know, how do you get the design into the machine now?
Which is, we talked about before, the type of technology is where things are going to.
I think that's the next thing is the networking.
Yeah, where technology. You can walk by with a tablet, and it'll register the
machine. And that's still new.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
And here's the thing about it, too. It's in order to do all that, it's expensive. And you've got to get it to a point to where the mom and pops can do it.
Mm-hmm.
But, and again, it's like anything else. When you're manufacturing, if you put all this R&D into this and all the testing, which costs a lot of money, and the next question is, how many are we going to sell, and how much can we sell for it?
Yep.
Once you have that piece of software developed, you got to pay for it. You got to pay for it in sales, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, we've been on the Japan. There's a lot of updates coming to networking, especially LEM. You know, mm-hmm. the name's going to change to BNet. It's got some really nice features, a new dashboard. I'm really excited about it. It's not going to be released until January. I'm going to Japan in October to see the final product. Hopefully, they're going to introduce it over there at the what show is it? The Jime show in Osaka. So Thad has gotten it, and we've showed it a little bit. We've got a couple beta test sites here in the States, and it's really been good. Been very, very good. But it's, you know, for somebody with two embroidery machines or five embroidery machines, it doesn't make sense to buy Pro. It just doesn't because it's expensive. So it's an enterprise system for large companies that have, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 machines.
Correct.
But I don't want to see the little people or the smaller, that sounded derogatory.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see the smaller shops get lost. And... you know, we got the Bluetooth that's available, but it's only good for K-series machines, brand new machines. Yep. What can you do for the older people?
And what if you're using more Mises than what you need for as far as machine and dongles?
Yeah.
Yeah. He loves to use multiple.
Yeah, all the Mises.
And keyboards.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So, I just remember that. No.
We all remember.
But I don't think anybody's got a handle on networking yet. I look at the competition, and they got things that they're trying, but they're not very reliable. I know a LAN network's, and I'm a believer in LAN network. I just think it's more reliable. You got cables going to it. People are like, well, what about wireless? Wireless is fine. I was talking to Ralph Humble today. I was talking to Ralph, and he said X brand has wireless, and I'm like, okay, well. He said, but every time Windows updates,
you're getting them.
You're losing all your settings. Get lost, and you can start all over again. Some they come in, Windows is updated, and then everything's they can't send their designs. So, is that a manufacturer problem? That's a Windows problem. I mean, Windows doesn't care. They're going to update. They don't care that you're going to lose your info.
Yeah.
So, I guess the point of all this is, I still think that LAN is probably the best way to do it.
And you can very securely run your LAN cabling.
Yeah.
You know, I've done it for several corporations where we've either, did drops straight down from ceilings or just run it across the floor. And then we can do it professionally and cleanly.
Have you installed Bluetooth yet?
I have once.
Okay. What do you think?
I like it.
Okay.
I like it. As long as you don't have, again, you're limited up to 7 devices.
Yeah, it's the Bluetooth limitations. Yeah. I mean, and that's not a us thing. That's a Bluetooth thing.
Yeah, no, that's straight up Bluetooth.
Yeah. So how far were the machines from the?
25 feet.
Okay. And that's the other thing, too. Yeah, I mean, there's no set distance. I've seen 100 feet. I've seen 125. What is it in our office? From my that's office probably, to where, 25 feet.
Maybe.
30.
No, I bet it ain't even that far.
Yeah, to the CO1, it's probably 20 feet. But it's going through my wall and Jamie's office wall. I don't know if that makes a difference or not. But it works. The first version that we had almost 2 years ago. Did you ever see the first version?
No, I wasn't privileged at that time like I am now.
Okay.
He's got the inside scoop.
Well, you're running around with the pros now. So.
I'm being allowed to talk.
I'm going to leave.
No, but... We messed with it, and I was not impressed with it, man. It just took it. I thought it took.
Was it slower than 9-pin connections?
It was slow. Oh, yeah,
it was clunky too. Like the interface and stuff. It just didn't.
Well, you had too many mouse clicks.
Yeah,
to drag and drop and do this and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, holy cow! And I told Brent, I said, man, I don't know about this. And Japan's like, well, what do you think? What do you think? And I said, I'm just not sold on it. And I hate to say that because they worked on it, and you could just see the disappointment in their faces. They really want it to work, and they're like, well, why, it's like, well, why don't you like this? And I'm like, it's too slow. And they were using a previous version of Bluetooth too.
Okay.
I think so. They went back to the drawing board. It took them a little bit over a year. I don't know why it took so long, but they got this latest version.
They had to get through their depression first.
They were mad at me, and I didn't get a raise last year. I don't know why. But they came out with this new version, and Brandon and I were using it. I'm like, I like this. I like it. It's something that I would use if I had a shop.
The number one thing I like about it is there is no installation.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Once you buy the software and you get your little...
It's a dongle.
Your tic-tac. Dongle. They call it a tic-tac. But,
Is that what they call it?
Yeah, it's called a tic-tac. Bluetooth tic-tac. And you install it into your USB port. It is.
It's not to me.
I build computers. Stop it.
But a tic tac gives me fresh breath.
Yes, but it's ask Sam.
And I get a tingle.
Ask Sam. He calls it a tic tac. Okay. But the Bluetooth receiver, once you plug it into the USB port on the machine, you set up the machine, and then you go to your computer and click on Bluetooth, and you connect the machine to the Bluetooth, and then all you're doing is copying the executable file to your desktop, and it does the rest for you.
I could not get it loaded, and I finally figured out why. I had the old version still on my.
No,
okay.
Who figured it out?
Like I said, I had the old version on my laptop, and I could not get the new to load. And I was getting. I had to get a pretzel.
Yeah, he did. Little did he know,
this is not working.
Help was only cubicles away.
I'm going to get a pretzel. Mm. And when I got a pretzel, I walked back to Brandon and I said,
as he's spitting pretzel,
hey man, come and look at this for a minute. I said, I'm starting to get mad. I'm going to take a sledgehammer to my laptop. And he said, well, did you think about uninstalling the old one? I said, yeah, I had that idea.
I was about to tell you.
I uninstalled the old one, and the other one, it was, because the first one to install was kind of clunky.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's a laptop thing. I know I'm a smart person and I'm a lot of things, but I'm not a technical person.
Guru.
I'm just not. I know where the start button is on my laptop. I know how to open up my email. I can send emails. I can receive them. What else am I good at?
Using two mouses.
I could use two mouses.
Mises.
Yeah.
Mises.
But I thought it was clunky. That was the other thing too. This new, once I got the new one installed, you're like, right, it was just like automatic.
Mm-hmm.
And the icons were different, and the way that you download the designs into the folders. And you remember the first time you would put it in the folder and the dang thing would just sit there.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd sit there, and then you would walk to the machine to see if it was going, because the machine will tell you when it gets there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, it's not there. And I go back to the computer. Oh, it just sent. So it took it for
a while. By the time you could have walked over with a USB stick.
And I'm like, well, this is dumb. But no. I highly recommend it now.
It eliminates the possibility of a USB getting broken inside the automat.
Does that happen very much?
I bet, yeah. I bet.
Not as much as one might think, but
those CF cards were horrible.
Oh, gosh, the bending of the pins.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, I don't know why we went to those. I would tell everybody that bought a CF card machine, please, you need to network that thing. Get away from the CF
cards. I've actually got one customer right now who explained to me, yeah, every time I insert the CF card, it doesn't register unless I push really, really hard. I'm going,
okay.
He's like, yeah, so I need you to order me another drive. Not happening. What do you mean no? I'm sorry, no. But what we can do is get you the cabling and blah blah blah. We'll hook up design file server for you.
There you go.
Yeah. I said, well, what does that do? I said, gets rid of your CF cards. Well, can I do that to all my shop, to all my machines? Yes, we can.
Yeah,
except for he has the caser, he's multi-head, so we can do it to that.
Can you do it to him? Yeah, multi-head.
Yeah, you can do it to multi-head.
I don't know how long they're keeping that COM port on there, but as of right now, it's staying.
I wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing it get phased out after next year.
You know, I think they're probably, no. Well, you could be right. Who knows what they're going to do? They don't tell us. They just
could be
over
right
here.
You could be.
I know they're going to update the K Series Automat in 2025. Is what they're talking about. So, and I'll know more. Well, I can't.
Are they going to put Siri in it? Make it voice activated?
I don't know what they're going to do.
He knows. I can't speak.
No.
Can't speak.
But
about
I think they'll get rid of that COM port then. Because they'll want to make it like the single heads.
Well, that, and also your PC computers today are so getting outdated to where USB 3.0 is going to be obsolete, and we're going to be using the USB-C. Then there's going to be new stuff.
I thought about that too. Could you put an adapter in there?
You can.
Okay.
So it's still going to be able to be usable in the future, but again, Windows 11 coming out. What's that going to bring in regards to its capabilities?
Man, everybody's terrified of Windows 11.
Bringing it in there. Not yet. Yeah. Let everyone else have the bug issues.
Do you think I was so hesitant about updating my laptop when y'all fussed at me today?
No. Did we fuss at you?
Yeah.
No, I explained it does not force you to download Windows 11.
I didn't know that.
And I educated you.
I know.
You're welcome.
I said thank you.
Rudely.
Well, I still said it.
I still have feelings.
Yeah, I'm not a Windows person anyway, but I was like, because I know Thad was like, don't update. Everything's going to be screwed up. And I'm just like, okay, I'm never updating.
But you didn't have an option there. You mean your laptop gave you the blue screen, you restarted and said, updating Windows.
So I was like, well, here we go. I'm going to have to call Thad.
Right at the trade show.
He's going to fuss.
I get so aggravated at Windows. Sometimes it updates every day of the week, it seems like.
I'm just glad our operating system for the Automat is not Windows.
Oh, thank goodness it's Linux.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's a big advantage with our machine, too.
Yeah, we talked about that a couple episodes ago.
It is not a Windows-based system, and I am so glad that
it starts.
Absolutely.
30 seconds, you're up and running.
Yeah.
Unlike other brands that might be using Windows or might not be. takes 3-4 minutes.
Are we the only Linux?
Yes.
I think we are. I can't think of anybody else.
Everyone else uses Daewoo Electronics. I think I'm saying it right, Daewoo.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah,
that's how I've heard it pronounced. Yeah, that's what Earl said at the meeting too. He's like, yeah, we're the only Linux-based operating system. To me, that means nothing. But
no, I don't know. It's the most flexible.
I know.
You can do anything.
That stuff is
ball of clay that you can just keep molding in the way that you need it to be.
Yeah, I like that analogy.
Well, I mean, Baradin, Unitech, who is a part of Baradin, we write our own software from scratch. It's not, and again, I've said this a million times, and I know I'm right, and I'll think this till the day I die. That's why the stitch quality on the Baradin is so good too, because it controls that pantograph through the software, the movements of the pantograph, which you know is what makes the design look like what it's supposed to look like, where I don't think Windows has the capability to control it as precisely as Linux does. Because I just think the Linux language is cleaner or more pure.
Yeah, that was actually,
that sounds exactly like I know what I'm talking about.
It does. It sounded good.
It really did.
I wanted you to use the word proprietary.
I was waiting for that one.
Mm-hmm. I was going to, but I was trying to get
tongue-tied like tongue-tied. I did. Yeah. I was waiting for you to use the word proprietary.
So did that make sense? Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. No, you said it exactly the way
Do you agree with me?
100%.
Okay.
100%. In fact, actually, that's one of the ladies today actually asked me about the warranty of the machine and stuff, and I brought up the motors, and one of the things I do know is that Baradin uses motors that are overpowered.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they do.
And I said, go ahead and take a look at the other motors that are competitors.
Yep.
And you will see the difference. Ours are beefier, stronger motors. They don't need to be, but they are, because it allows for a much more smooth and greater stitch quality.
Why you never lose a motor. I mean, I think I asked Earl this at the sales.
Yeah, he was like,
he said we lost like one in 10 years.
Yeah, he's like, I can't even. Yeah, I don't know if it's even happened.
I know which one too.
Yeah. Yeah, we did lose. Yeah, we did.
Yeah, but that's okay because we replaced it.
Yeah, we did.
Free.
Yeah, we will.
I mean, the customer's happy.
Yeah,
she is ecstatic.
But it's pretty rare, and I guess maybe that motor was made in the factory on a Friday at 4:50. And we don't make the motors. I'll tell you that. The motors are made by a company in Japan that makes motors.
Yep. It's called the Japanese Motor Company.
it's a Mitsubishi motor, maybe. I don't know.
Well, the multi-head motors are Mitsubishi or what's, I can't remember the other brand it is. It's a brand that you've heard of. Toshiba. Toshiba is the other. I'm like, they make TVs. And motors.
Mm-hmm. Good ones, apparently.
And Mitsubishi makes what? Engines?
They make cars.
Cars.
You know, they made the in World War II, they made the Zero airplane. That was a Mitsubishi.
That I am aware of.
Gosh, I'm full of knowledge.
It is good stuff, bud.
Did you know that?
Yeah. Yeah.
The Mitsubishi Zero. Mitsubishi is a heavy equipment company in Japan. They have a huge, huge place in Tokyo. If anybody cares, I think it's pretty cool.
No, one of my goals is to one day go to the Baradin factory, go to Baradin Japan headquarters, and see it all.
But you and me, buddy,
you can go right now.
I can get a plane
they
ticket and fly myself out there.
Airplanes and
actually, can you go right now?
Yeah, no, you could. Yeah,
if you walked up to the ticket counter in Charlotte and said, "I want to go to,"
I want to win my ticket. Nagoya.
Well, no, because it'll be Sunday there, right? When you get there, so they'll be closed on Sunday. So you have
if
to
you went, yeah, it would, be, right it would now. Be Sunday evening. No, yeah. It would be, what is today?
Today is Saturday morning for them. About what time is it now?
They're what, 16 hours?
Yeah, it is, 9:15, so hours. It's definitely past Brandon's bedtime. But, it's 9:15, so it's 10:15 in the morning, their time.
What time zone are they in?
Japanese time zone, yep.
JTZ?
Sure. I don't remember. I don't remember. I just know they're 13 hours ahead of us, so they know what the lottery numbers are for tonight.
That's a good one.
All I know is when I get up in the morning, I've got a bunch of emails that they sent me because when I'm going to bed, they're just getting started over there. And I'll tell you what, those fellas work a lot.
they are an amazing people though. They're right, the culture and everything. I absolutely loved my time over there when I was.
I love Japan. They are the nicest people.
And again, karaoke is awesome with them.
I don't do karaoke, but I like
you
the food.
Just sit back and enjoy it.
My first trip over there, I get up in the morning and I walk, or I'm up early. I can't. I'm up when the sun comes up, and first time I was there, I was in Nagoya, downtown Nagoya, and there's a hotel they always put us up in. It's right next to the train station. And there was a route that I walk when I go over there, the same route. And I try to get in through 4 miles, but there was a 7-Eleven there. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, oh, cool, I'll get a cup of coffee.
That's going to be a Slurpee.
So,
breakfast Slurpee.
And I went in there and had a coffee, and they had an American newspaper. You've seen the American newspapers over there. They're real, like, a condensed.
They're very small. Yeah, it's like a little pamphlet.
It's the headlines, you know. It's like
a pamphlet of what's going on.
And it's in English. And so I go in there, and my first time there, I didn't understand Japanese money. You know, I had yen, I had coins, and I'm like, the prices are on there, and you know they use commas instead of periods.
$10,000 for
that. I'm not paying that for this newspaper. I'm not paying $10. It was a dollar, and I got a cup of coffee, and I think I knew what the coffee cost. I think I knew what everything cost, and I go over to the counter, and she does not speak a lick of English. I don't speak a lick of Japanese. And we're staring into each other's eyes, and she knows I want this coffee and this newspaper.
Just like, and here's all my money.
Here's what she does.
Count.
She takes my hand.
This is a moment.
She takes the money out of my hand and is nodding at me.
And then she closes her. She's like, close your hand.
You go now.
And she's peaceful. Nodding, and I guess she's thinking, trust me.
Yeah,
trust me, gringo. Trust me.
She took $1 million
over there. Yeah, they call me gringo everywhere I go. But, and I would go in there.
Gaijin. That's what you'd be able in Japan.
I would go in there every morning. I was over there for a week. Every morning I'd go in there and get my coffee. And I'd walk in there and I'd just hold my hand down. You want monies? Monies for coffee and paper?
No, Brandon, we need to go to Japan.
Yeah, I need to do a lot of things.
Yep.
I'll get him over there. No, it's the culture is nice. It's a city that you feel safe in. You just don't feel like anything.
Yeah, no one carries guns.
They don't.
That you know of.
Yeah, well, you know they had a shoot. Well, they shot Abe.
Yep.
Abe Lincoln.
Yeah, that happened a while back.
No, they shot the former prime minister over there.
Yeah, that wasn't that long ago.
No, it was just a few weeks ago, dude. And he was beloved over there. I mean, he was
but one person, apparently.
Well, yeah, he didn't like him. Shot him with a homemade shotgun. That's horrible.
That's some redneck stuff right there.
That's some Davidson County, North Carolina justice.
That's Montgomery County.
But no, that is another cool thing is a lot of people don't, whenever I explain to them, you know, tell us what's going wrong with the machines. Let us know. Send emails to tech support, stuff like that. It gets reported to Japan.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we have meetings and they're like, really? Y'all actually fly to Japan? I say, I don't, but.
You know. You see pictures of it.
Mm-hmm. Those emails fly over Japan via the space waves.
It's amazing how long do you think?
Did you just say meme?
That's
a quick meme.
If I send an email to you, that's a meme mail.
Yeah.
It's a U-mail. We got our own language.
Did you say how fast it would go from
me? No. If Japan emails me, how many seconds do you think it takes to get to Archdale, the world headquarters?
Well, it has to go. Yeah, it has to go. Not anymore. This is it now.
Oh, okay. The compound here.
Right. It has to go up to a satellite.
Does it?
And then it goes around the satellite.
It doesn't
and
go through like a cable
it.
Under the ocean?
No, it
we
slings
appreciate
it.
Everyone for sticking around for this podcast.
It'll sling it back down to the States.
Sling it.
Slings it. It doesn't send
it. It bases it off.
Well, first of all,
centrifugal
it has
force.
To go to Cleveland. Right?
Yeah. Then
it has
that,
to go to our server.
That just comes to you immediately.
It just hit me. How long does it take? 10 seconds? 10 minutes?
I think it's immediate. Like however.
It can't do that.
Well, it's one of those. If I sent you an email from my phone right now, how long would it take for you to
almost,
get it?
Probably almost instantaneously.
It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm. But it goes. But we're here.
Yep. It goes as fast as whatever.
Where are you guys?
No, comment below. How long does it take for you to send an email?
It has to go. Hey, listen. It has to go from your phone to Cleveland to my phone.
Well, doesn't it have to go to the satellite first, then down to Cleveland?
What's a satellite? You keep talking about satellites. It doesn't go through a wire.
It has to go to space.
Everything goes through space.
What if it hits the space station and bounces off? That's probably why you don't get some emails. Mm. It probably gets, don't you think?
Sucked into a black hole.
I'm thinking that the people, don't you think the people in the space station sometimes get some really random, crazy emails?
No, it's going to whoever's address it's addressed to. You've lost your mind.
No, no.
Why would they be checking emails at the space station?
They're not. I'm saying.
They're on their AOL. You've got mail.
Yeah.
No, if you guys are saying satellite. Okay, I get that.
Well, that's not a space station, though.
Mm-hmm. But the space, what if it gets
it's between, a deflector.
What if it gets between the signal and the satellite? It happens to be, because it's orbiting.
Okay, but most everything nowadays, we have all the satellite towers and radio towers and things like that. It's only because signal travels in one direction.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to have a line of sight.
What's this? Uh-huh. You act like you know what he's talking
about. I was the one that brought it up. It has to go to space.
Yeah. It's a line of sight transmission.
Does Elon Musk have anything to do with this?
Absolutely. He has everything to do with it.
All right.
Yeah.
He created the spoon. You know that, right?
No.
Elon Musk created the spoon. I'm sorry. No, I am incorrect. He didn't create the spoon. It was the spork. He created the spork. The greatest invention in the world is the spork.
It is a universal tool.
It is.
I put a deposit down on a Cybertruck yesterday.
What?
$100
that's
deposit.
That's the ugliest truck. I wouldn't drive that across. I wouldn't drive that across town.
Mm.
You get a battery with it? A spare battery?
Yeah.
No, I did not.
We need to wrap this up. We're getting goofy.
I'm maintaining composure.
I'm getting goofy.
Yeah, it is late.
Talk about and space stations.
I have had iced tea and water to drink, so I have not had anything to make me goofy. I'm just naturally goofy.
Yeah, you get the post-show crash.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we were very busy today.
I can go down to the front desk and have a bottle of Ensure.
Oh, man, that hurts, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That hurts.
I this is how done I am. You said Ensure, and I was like, is that a laxative? I know what it is.
Well, it's from tomorrow morning for breakfast. He's going to come downstairs, see me eating, goes, where's your baby food? Yeah, you got your Gerber?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Get your Gerber going on?
No, I know. I'm a serious person. I don't.
No jokes from
do
you.
That. No.
No.
Yeah, and John had hot sauce with his eggs this morning, which I always appreciate.
Did you have the scrambled eggs?
I did. I didn't stand in line.
You think they tasted like eggs?
No, they were watered eggs, powdered.
Is there really such thing as powdered eggs?
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh, yeah.
When we checked in, somebody was talking about how great the eggs were when we were down there checking in yesterday.
Maybe they got, they'll cook you an egg. Here.
Well, yeah, no, because if you stand in line, they'll cook your food for you type deal.
Or I'm going to stand in line to get an egg.
Well, if there's more than four people, then, that's, 20 minutes you're going to stand there waiting for breakfast, and I'm trying to, get in, get out, get her done type stuff.
And see what other scheme you can come up with for criminal activity.
Right.
I have some ideas. It'd be sneaky and,
Yeah, we're going to behave tomorrow. I promise.
Tomorrow's the last day. We have to work the show till 3, pack up. We head north, John heads south.
Yep. And then I get one night at home and then I'm out to Memphis.
Back on the road.
I'm in the office a week. Oh, we got a trade show coming up. Out? Yeah, we got Impressions Fort Worth coming up.
Not next week, but the week after, right?
Well, I'm leaving.
You can't.
I'm not going. I'm too busy.
No.
You can't figure. You can't.
You
save
can't.
Time.
Yeah, you can't.
Because
if you do
out,
this.
Well, this will come out after the
stop.
Show. We do this
I just
every
said
time.
Don't do this.
I don't understand.
When you got this doesn't this is not currently going to space to the people.
Correct. No, this is going to be a report.
This will be in future.
It took me forever. So whenever I understand this,
he did. He's like, so you mean it ain't live? Like
whenever I know this is not live.
Yeah. So we have to think. Okay, when this comes out, will the trade show have happened or not? And it's best just be like, there's a trade show coming up. Be there or it's already over. Kinda.
Oh no! Oh yeah. Okay, I see what you're talking about.
This will come out the week I'm at the trade show.
Yes.
Okay. Well, never mind. Don't come.
Yeah, and for next week, I'll be in Memphis. So if you're needing embroidery machine repairs and stuff like that, yeah, just give me a call. Yeah.
Yeah, he'll be out there taking advantage of his services.
No, I will say this. By the time this comes out, not these two yahoos, will be in Fort Worth at the Impression Show. So if you're listening to this next Wednesday, the show will start on Friday and run through Sunday. How's that?
Brandon, you better get on that.
Right?
Get on what?
Getting this uploaded.
Oh, it'll be up when it.
Oh yeah, he works. He's good. I couldn't do this. I wouldn't.
I can't.
This buttons and things.
I don't know anything. Set it, forget it. It's like a Ronco food deodorant.
Did you put the CF card in it?
Yeah, it is recording.
not CF card, but the, don't worry about it.
I still think your future math is wrong, but I can't do it right now. I think what you said about when this comes out next Wednesday.
We don't have one.
Wednesday. I'm going to talk to you about this afterward because it's the.
The most entertaining thing I will say is being in the car with these two. And the contraband.
Contraband. We do not. This is why we're in this bar.
Contraband. No, but the comments of between these two is just absolutely great. Great father-son duo.
I like to think so.
I don't know how to take that.
It's a compliment. It really is.
Are you saying?
Y'all two are like best buds.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, exactly. Oh, we are.
And that's
we
awesome.
Are. Oh, I wish his brother was here. My other son, Kyle.
That would be his guess.
He has two together. He's has the driest. Him and Brandon together. They're great.
Because I try to maintain some sort of professionalism on this.
I don't, and I'm sorry.
It's okay, but
I try to provide a little entertainment.
Outside of this, it's not good for anybody. But it's entertaining.
Yeah, I need to hire Kyle. So he can be on the podcast. No. Because he is.
Me
and Brandon together.
It would no longer be a Bear podcast.
I can't keep up.
Yeah. But, well, thanks for the kind words. I think the world of him. Don't tell him.
No, I wouldn't do that. I don't need his ego getting so big to where he actually starts growing hair back.
Yeah.
Man, it might not be a bad idea. I'm telling you.
Of course, I showed you a picture of what it looked like whenever I tried to grow my hair back after I retired.
Hey, will you send me that picture?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
We need to put it on the podcast.
That's what I was going to say. That would be the thumbnail. Please.
No. John Kuhn, and you see my... Oh, gosh, no. Mm.
I won't tell you what he looks like.
It's terrible. And my family loves me, and they put up with it for a couple months till my son looked at me and said, Dad,
this has to
you
end.
Need to get that roadkill off your head. Seriously. It's terrible.
I mean, but you need people in your life like that. That will tell you the truth.
I look like a homeless person. So...
I told you what you look like. Of him.
But. Well, the thing about it is family will always tell you the truth.
Even when you want them to lie. Yep. Yeah. Even when you want them to lie to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, everybody needs those people in their life. It's like, hey, either you got something in your teeth, you need to get it out.
You got a booger hanging out of your nose.
Your hair looks bad.
Yeah.
I'm waiting on one of y'all to say, cut it, B. Cut it.
What, your beard?
My hair.
Oh.
No, I'm proud there's somebody in this room that can grow hair. Yeah.
And on that note.
Yep, right there. So like, comment, subscribe. Is that how you do it?
I like it. I'm glad I don't have to do it.
It's pretty good stuff.
Yeah. Drop us an email, stitchfiles@baradin.com.
We hope this didn't get off the rails too bad.
The feedback that I always get is that they enjoy the banter, which I would too, because.
Well, we try to keep it embroidery related. And I think. Well, you think we do for the most part?
Oh, for the most part, yeah. No, because I mean, I sit in the car and listen to y'all every time it pops up. Like, I mean, last time with Vinny, that was fabulous. I learned a lot.
Vinny?
From you and Vinny talking.
Oh,
because I knew both you and Vinny. Oh, okay. Yeah,
we're probably two of the dumbest people in the company. So, how would you got very low standards, my friend?
Vinny's just like I said before. You just wind him up and just turn him loose, and he just.
I made a comment that I enjoyed Vinny's conversation that I was listening to, and several people were like, really? I said, yeah.
Yeah, I did too. I told
it was good.
You know what? We give Vinny a hard time.
But it's because we love him.
And truly, I do love him. I consider him a brother. I seriously do.
And the other fun thing is, because I'll put this on the Baird and Owners group, I'll put the tag on there, and the comments that just fall down afterwards of, oh my God, it's Vinny, yay, that, or even the questions that will come through that I'm able to answer.
Mm-hmm.
It always stays productive even after the show's been done and over with, no matter the banter that goes on and the 20-minute conversations.
Well, the other thing too is, we're it's a job, but it's fun. And I know it sounds like a broken record. I love working here, and having Brandon here it's an added bonus. But it's the Baradin family, the thing we talked about last time. It's a fun place to work. We all get along. And I like to have a little fun and be goofy, but still try to give people some information about embroidery too. So hopefully you pick up some tidbits. It's kind of a behind the scenes look.
Especially today.
This is Brandon's hotel room, by the way.
No, you know us. We're like this all the time.
Yeah. No, you don't change.
Yeah.
It doesn't change.
Yeah, yeah. And we're like this. I mean, we get serious with customers, but we like to joke around.
I do. I enjoy the interaction with people. It's I love it. And
you cannot take yourself too seriously. No, just can't. If you're just sour grapes.
And we can't please everybody.
No, you can't.
No. But I was going to say is I haven't received any hate mail.
Nope.
No. I mean, yeah, I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. No, I can't please everybody. No, but we sure as heck try. I'll go say, we sure as heck try. We try every single thing we can. And actually, we were successful in doing that today with one customer. And I'll bring it up in that fashion right there. We changed up a lot to appease this one customer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The needs
that
they expressed. They had some serious needs, and the situation called for it. So working together, we were able to accomplish it.
That even though it got blamed on me. I'll say that. And it wasn't my fault.
And next year, guess what? I'll blame it to you again. We'll bring it up 1 year from now. Hey, Brandon, do you remember when you messed up? No. And it wasn't Brandon's fault. No. It was just the circumstances that fell into play.
It was. But, hey, it got taken care of. Yep. That's all that matters.
The main thing is the customer's happy.
Yep. The main thing is just the main
thing.
That's
what I want. You know, we don't sit and point fingers. Well, John does, but.
He sure enough did.
No, we don't point fingers. It's like. Nobody really messed up. It's just.
No. It was a.
You know, I've said this a million, billion times. Most issues or problems in life, if you think about it, it's communication.
For sure. That's really what it comes down to.
Think about that. I mean.
It is.
It's like, I say something to you, you may take it wrong, and in my heart, I didn't mean it that way, and you tell somebody else, or somebody tells me something to do, or ask me something, or send me an email about this, and I every now and then, I forget about it.
It happens. We are human.
Vinny asked me about a deal a couple nights ago. And I looked at it. I mean, I get so many emails. They get lost sometimes. And I looked at it, and I'm like, I'll answer them later. I can't right now. And I completely forgot. And he texted me on Saturday. What is today?
Today's Friday.
No, he didn't text
me Saturday. Yes, it is.
Today is Friday.
Yes, it is. Okay. Anyway, it's 2 days went by. And I usually will give him an answer like that. But I was in the middle of something, and he texted me. He texts me again. I'm like, oh, gee, dude, I forgot. And I gave him an answer, and I said, hey, man, he did. I'm sorry. I didn't answer you. It just slipped my mind. I'm usually right on top of it. I will give you an answer on something right now. I don't have to think about it. And I kind of let him down. I feel bad about that.
Yeah, it happens.
Think about wars that have happened and things that happen. It's like a lack of communication. If people just sit down and work things out, it wouldn't be like that. Mm. In my opinion.
Yep, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
You know, if I got an issue with you, well, I got many issues with you, but I would pull you to the side, and I wouldn't embarrass you in front
of
somebody.
I'd hope you'd ask instead of manhandling. That's just a little too aggressive.
I would hug you first.
Oh.
I would hug you. I would pet your cheek.
And then I would feel the knife going in my back.
Probably. It's a short blade. I would say, hey, John, we got this little issue, and what can we do to get it fixed? You know, instead of somebody says, well, he said this or he said this. Because I'm a mediator in a lot of things. And I will always say, okay. And I'll listen. I'll get both sides of it. And then just try to get it worked out. I tell you, life's too short for people to be at each other's throats.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep. I mean, if anything I've learned during all this machine delays is, man, you got to be patient. Me and everybody. And Brandon will be the first to tell you, that's a hard thing for me to do is be patient.
Yeah. It's okay. We're all flawed. And let's just love each other.
Let's do love each other. We need to go because we're running over. We'll have a group hug.
Yeah.
We may take a picture of it.
No.
Let's not take a picture.
Not in a hotel room.
Not doing it.
Yeah. I'm not hugging you in a hotel room.
It's not often I'm in another man's hotel room.
It's also very odd.
I said not often. I didn't say I didn't do it.
It was very odd that the snack guy came in and saw this camera set up and just me in here. And I'm like, oh, no.
Did he really come in here? Yeah, we all. The snack guy's been to your room twice.
No. This was yesterday when you come by.
Oh.
And I was like, this looks bad.
Is this where we plug in your OnlyFans account?
You know, I'm not going there. I didn't know what that was until.
Well, I'm gonna make a confession. I still don't know what it was.
I know. I got schooled on it.
Probably by your wife.
No, going up to Cleveland.
By who?
Jamie.
Oh, if Jamie.
Don't you remember this conversation? I'm not going to say the conversation, but I was like, what is this? And then she told both of us, like, it is a.
Oh, about the dude?
Just leave it what it is, man. And I'm like, what is that?
I remember.
I'm so naive. Like, or dumb.
I just don't do a lot of social media.
I don't either.
I wish. Mm. Do you?
I keep only to the basic streamlined stuff. I don't do the Snapchat and the Twitter and definitely don't
Twitter
do
is
that Twitch
Twitter
stuff.
Twitter is nothing for people to get on there and say bad things about other people. Yeah, I despise Twitter. I don't understand why anybody would want to be involved in that.
So if you cannot say it to the person's face, exactly. You should not say it on Twitter or any other social media.
The vile stuff that people say about other people.
It's ridiculous.
It's appalling. I'm serious. And look, I'm not an angel. I'm not a holier than thou, but geez. Doesn't know any other person. You could put a post on Twitter and I could just say, hey, John, you're an idiot.
Go eat dirt.
And you're ugly and you need a haircut. Oh, you don't really need a haircut. And you're not an idiot. And you're not, I think you're kind of cute, but why would anybody want to get on there? You were on Twitter for a while, right?
I still have Twitter. I don't go on there, but I have an account.
Don't you think it's pretty ugly?
Yeah, but that was why I kind of got rid of everything. It's like, it's not healthy for me. And, you know, unless I have to be on there, which, you know, I help do that stuff now. But it is very limited to very specific things. I feel like it is, it's just not good for your mental health.
No, it's not.
Yeah. No, I'm on Instagram. I got back on Facebook to kind of see some of the Baird and stuff. Reluctantly, you and I talked about this, and I've gotten to see. I love the UK. I love seeing what the UK is doing, and our buddy down in
Arnaldo
puts some really nice posts on there. Arnaldo, if you're listening, you're a really good dude.
Oh, he always listens every time.
Yeah, yeah. But he does some beautiful embroidery work. Mm-hmm. I mean, awesome hats, and he puts some family pictures on there too. And he's got a beautiful family, which I really like that.
I love his son. When I went to New York, his son took a picture of himself at the Empire State Building, and it looks like he had a fro. Yeah. I told that to Arnaldo, and he told his wife, and she's like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah. They were at the ocean somewhere. I can't remember what it was, but he put some pictures on there, and I'm like, oh, dude, that is so cool.
He's got an awesome family. And my wife and I are looking forward to get down to Puerto Rico.
I'd love to meet
just
him.
I may need to go to Puerto Rico and visit
Mario and go see him, because he's a huge Baird proponent, which we are very appreciative. And I like seeing people that have a successful business, a happy family, because at the end of the day, that's what we're all looking for.
Is it?
Yeah. And, it does have a lot of benefits, and those things are very positive things. It's the negative that'll just drag you into the space that we're in now.
So, did that camera go?
Yeah, the camera is not looking like it's on.
Oh,
you might run out of batteries because
I didn't plug it in.
So we've been
There'll just be a black screen at the end of this.
When did it go off?
Just now, didn't it?
About maybe 3 minutes ago.
Okay,
30 minutes ago.
Three minutes ago.
I just happened to look up.
Well, we're going. We're
long.
You
have
to edit this down.
I don't know.
You don't edit, do you? I said, you're going to have to edit this down.
No, I'm not editing.
You don't edit. There's no such thing. No,
an hour and a half.
We go with it.
Yep, that's what you told Vinny last time.
Actually, Vinny was shorter than I thought. I thought he'd go for 2 hours. I'm like, holy cow. He's like, we got so much space on, what's our platform? I can't even think of it. Buzzard.
It's MySpace.
So, but yeah, this last 10 minutes have been all for the podcast, not the video cast, so.
Yeah. I'll put up some pictures of John.
What do you think the ratio is to watching?
It's way more viewers on YouTube than it is.
I think people like watching. Well, I mean, when you got, you know, good looking people like this.
I'm not doing that. I can't say that.
No, I'll say it for you. You're handsome. Stop. Man.
All right. We're going. I'm done.
Are you done?
I am. Really? I've been done for a little bit. I've like so faded.
John, thank you. This has been fun. It's always good to have you on the podcast.
Yeah, I'm glad.
This is your third time, isn't it?
Third or fourth.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it might be third. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, you always bring a lot to it, and we you know, we appreciate you being at Baird and proponent. You help us out a lot.
Yeah, man.
You get us out of jams, and we are very grateful. So you're part of the family, dude. Even though your paycheck doesn't come directly from – well, it does, doesn't it?
No, it does.
That's
no,
right. Well, you're not a direct – you don't have a 401k.
I'm not a Baird one. I'm not a Baird employee, no.
Yeah, you're not.
No.
But you kind of are, but you're not.
He's not at all.
No. You can't fire me. You can just stop giving me work, but you can't fire me.
Yeah.
Don't tempt him.
I'm thinking how I can fire you. It's going through my mind.
You got Scott Marshall's number.
Scott Marshall right now, they're listening to this. He's going, no.
Please cut it off.
No. We love you guys. And that's, no.
Yeah, and thanks everybody that came by the booth, and see you tomorrow. See you in Fort Worth.
You can't do that. That's Fort, you
know, it's
Fort
it's telling. Okay. That's okay. Well, I'll figure out the math on it.
Like, but, subscribe, share this.
Yep.
Definitely share it.
Yeah, and then the I don't know how many people actually go onto iTunes and rate it, but that is a big deal too for whatever reason. So if you would go on there, give it some stars, write a review, it does help.
Does it?
Yeah, it really does.
Okay.
It just gets eyeballs on it, which I guess that's what we're trying to do.
Well, it's growing. I mean, this is a very small industry, and I know nobody wants to hear about embroidery unless you're probably an embroiderer. Or there's a lady today told me, she said, I've seen you on your podcast. She didn't own a Baird. She doesn't own a machine yet.
That's cool.
At all. And she said, I really like you guys. You guys are funny. I'm like, well, thank you.
I did get some very good comments about how people like dealing with us compared to other companies, like our salespeople. And
well, that means a lot.
It does.
Because,
it
really again, does. What you see is what you get. And, you know, I mean, we're all human beings. You can't be 100% every day. We try our best to.
Mm.
And if I ever come across, you know, as a bad person. I don't know what I'm trying to say. We need to get off here.
Yeah.
Number three.
Yeah.
We are leaving.
Yeah.
Do all those things.
John, thanks again, buddy. And if I haven't told you this, thank you for your service.
Oh, thank you for sure, man.
I haven't told you that, but I admire you a lot.
I had way too much fun doing it.
And you know what? We needle the heck out of you because we love you. So
I told you that, man. If I don't like you, you're just going to be like, you're going to get the answers from me, and that's it.
And you hear my problems.
Likewise.
Responses.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I
fire it right back.
That's what guys do.
Yep.
I'm glad I'm not a girl because I wouldn't be able to do that.
All right. We'll see you guys on the next one.
Y'all take care.
Please be safe out there.
Adios.
Watch out for aliens.